We've got a singular honor today. I've been here a very long time, and never, at least that I can remember, have we had one of the commissioners of the Federal Communications Commission here. Ajit Pai is in Sioux Falls. And it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Great to be with you.
Let's talk about what brings you to Sioux Falls. I know yesterday you were with Senator Thune and looking at some businesses and how they're incorporating the internet.
Absolutely. This is my first time to Sioux Falls, but after seeing what I've seen, I can tell you it's not going to be the last. Being a rural American myself, one of the things I prize as an FCC commissioner is figuring out the ways that technology and communications can really put rural America on the map when it comes to entrepreneurship and innovation. And so with Senator Thune, I visited a bunch of Sioux Falls businesses yesterday, got to see what they were doing. I talked to some telephone, cable, and broadcast companies yesterday afternoon to figure out if there were things that we could do to help them achieve their mission better, and visited a 911 call center, a new tech high school. I really wanted to get as broad an understanding as I could about what's going on in Sioux Falls, and I got to tell you, what I've seen is really impressive. Sioux Falls is on the move.
Well, it's a great community. I'm from Sioux Falls. There have been so many changes here. It's a wonderful place, and it's great to have you here to be a part of that. You know, for those who maybe don't know a lot about the FCC, talk about your job as commissioner and what you do.
So there are five FCC commissioners. All of them are nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate. I'm one of the five. We are led by a chairman. And basically, the FCC sets communications policies for the entire industry, broadcasters, cable companies, satellite companies, wireless companies, telephone companies. And there's a debate over whether or not we should get into the internet space as well. But usually we try to work collaboratively with each other, with Congress, and with the American public to come up with a regulatory framework that makes sense for everybody, that preserves the free market that all of us have enjoyed, and hopefully doesn't do too much damage along the way.
So let's talk a little bit about you and your background. Yeah. I mean, how did you become a commissioner on the FCC?
Well, I feel like the Forrest Gump of Washington in a lot of ways. I'm from Parsons, Kansas, a small town in the middle of nowhere, but I moved to Washington a few years ago, and over the years, held a variety of jobs in and out of government. I'm a lawyer by training, so I worked at a law firm and at Verizon. In the government, I worked on Capitol Hill for a while, worked at the FCC as a lawyer, and I was very fortunate a couple of years ago when I was just drinking my morning coffee on a Monday and got a call from Senator Mitch McConnell's office, and he asked if there's going to be a vacancy at the agency. Would you be interested in interviewing for the position? And I just jumped at the chance. I love this field. I love the opportunity to serve and to provide sort of a free market voice for rural America is something that I really take seriously.
Now, do I understand correctly? Because I was told, and you'll have to tell me if this is wrong, but I was told you're a big fan of AM radio in particular.
I am. I love AM radio. Growing up in Parsons, KLKC 1540 AM was, I mean, literally in those days, in the late 70s, early 80s, that was one of my few links to the outside world. There was no internet, there were no smartphones and the rest. And I've taken that love with me to the FCC. In 2012, I proposed that the FCC take a look at revitalizing the AM radio service. It had been 22 years at that point since we'd done anything for AM radio. And I'm glad to say that, you know, my colleagues have taken me up on it, and we're on the brink of adopting some really exciting reforms that I hope we'll bring the AM band back.
What kinds of things will you be looking at then?
So we're looking at some short-term proposals and some long-term ones. One of the short-term ones, for example, is to allow AM broadcast stations to gain access to what's known as an FM translator, essentially to reach some of its listeners on the FM band. Similarly, we're trying to get rid of these outdated rules, something called the ratchet rule that I had never heard of. Basically, if you're an AM station and you want to improve your facilities, you've got to hire an engineer and a lawyer to prove to the FCC that that improvement is going to reduce interference. And that's a really difficult thing to do in this environment when you've got all these different radio stations, you've got fluorescent lights, cable set-top boxes, all these things that are competing with each other. So we're getting rid of that. On the long-term side, we're looking at some reductions in the nighttime community coverage restrictions that allow you to broadcast at night if you would currently have to go dark or power down. And so there are a lot of exciting things going on that I think are going to make AM listeners really happy.
Ajit Pai is here. He is a commissioner on the Federal Communications Commission. I know one of the big issues right now that's getting a lot of coverage is this net neutrality. And you just touched on it briefly a little bit ago. For those maybe you don't quite understand, explain that debate and what's taking place.
So about 20 years ago, 1996, then President Clinton and Congress came up with a bipartisan agreement that they didn't want to regulate the internet. They wanted it to remain, as they put it, unfettered from federal or state regulation. And as a result of that agreement, over the last 20 years almost, the internet has really thrived. It's become something that none of us ever could have anticipated. So the question now is, where do we go from here? Because the internet is so interwoven in American life, should we treat internet access as a utility, like the water company or the electric company, and essentially have the government commandeer those networks for the benefit of the public? Or should we give the private sector the maximum incentive to invest in broadband for all Americans? And I tend to be in the latter camp for both policy and legal reasons. And the legal reason, of course, is that the Court of Appeals in Washington has now twice struck down FCC attempts to adopt net neutrality rules. But more importantly, on the policy side, if we treat internet access as a utility, I worry that places like Sioux Falls, places like Parsons, Kansas, are not going to get that broadband connection because companies aren't going to see the value in it if they know that the government is going to step in and micromanage the way they run those networks. So these are really expensive decisions that they have to make in terms of investment, and it doesn't help to have the government second-guessing them.
Well, and as we find with broadband, and we're learning with more and more people watching video especially, I mean, video on their phones and video through their Wii consoles at home, and it's a very finite and limited resource, this broadband.
Absolutely.
It's got to pose a heck of a challenge for you to...
It is, and it seems like every time the highway adds a lane or two, even more traffic seems to fill up that highway.
Right.
And so that's one of the challenges we see, that even my two-year-old son now, I mean, he knows how to swipe an iPad and pick out an app, and it's just something that the newest generation in particular is second nature to them. And so the challenge for us as policymakers is to figure out, you know, how do we keep that traffic moving smoothly across the road. So
it's got to be really fascinating for you, because as you touched on earlier, you're growing up in Kansas and AM radio was your big connection, and we've seen such a proliferation of media. I mean, old timers like me remembering three TV channels when I grew up here in Sioux Falls. That's all that was available now. I mean, it's just incredible. To manage all of that has got to be one monumental task.
It really is. And I will say that I take a lot of pride in how far we've come. I think a lot of people tend to forget that, you know, it didn't always used to be the way it is now. I like you, grew up in, you know, Kansas, and in the late 70s and 80s, I still remember my dad telling me to hold the rabbit ears so we could get, you know, one of the three channels that we got, and couldn't get cable. We didn't have satellite at that time. And so I remember what it was like to not to have a whole heck of a lot of choice when it came to media. But now it's almost too much choice. You just see, anyone can pick out whatever they want to find, and that's a great thing, I think.
Ajit Pai is here. He is one of five commissioners on the Federal Communications Commission. I could talk to you all day long. I mean, this is exciting for me as a broadcaster to be able to meet a commissioner, but your passion, especially for broadcasting, is just really contagious.
Oh, thanks. No, you're far too kind. I could spend all day talking to you, too. It's what you do for people across South Dakota is just, it's terrific, and I really appreciate that.
Have you ever been on the air?
Oh, yeah, many, many times. I've taken calls at KDKA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Sure.
I've been on the air in my home state of Kansas, been on the air in Alaska. I love visiting TV and radio broadcasters across the country. There's just nothing like that connection that you have with the community. And just to be a tiny little part of that is really validating.
So as we talk about net neutrality, what are some of the other big issues that will be coming up with the FCC that consumers should be looking for?
So there are a couple of them coming up. One of them involves an FCC-administered program called E-Rate. And this is a program that was instituted in 1996 to connect schools and libraries to basically advanced communications opportunities. And so in the modern age, now when everything is broadband, we're trying to focus on how do we reform the E-Rate program to better meet the needs of schools and libraries. And so one of the plans I've put on the table would allow schools, especially in rural areas like South Dakota, to get a better shot at E-rate funding. Right now, states like New Jersey, for example, get 30% more funding per student than students in South Dakota, even though New Jersey is far less rural and less poor than South Dakota is, and that's one issue. Another one that's close to my heart, and we talked about it a little bit during the break, is AM radio, and I really do hope that we revitalize the AM radio service by the end of the year, and that's something that I think is nonpartisan. We could really get it done if there's the political will to do it. There's some really big issues coming up in terms of spectrum. We are going to be conducting the world's first broadcast incentive auction. And in a nutshell, this is an auction that Congress authorized us to do a few years ago. No other country in the world has ever done it, where we will ask TV broadcasters if they want to relinquish some of the spectrum that they use, and then we'll turn around and sell that spectrum to the wireless companies. And trying to figure out how all those moving pieces are going to work is going to be a pretty big challenge. And
And that was, you know, television's move to digital was a part of that, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Because they use up less of the spectrum.
Exactly right. Yeah. So as we moved from analog to digital, it's become a much more efficient way to broadcast. And as a result, we can free up some spectrum for the mobile broadband services and applications that people now are increasingly using.
The you touched on it just briefly a couple of times, the issue of, you know, for rural states like South Dakota, when it comes to accessibility, are there any particular things there that we should be looking for? What's your concern when it comes to making sure that all of these things we're talking about are available to people, even out in rural areas?
That is at the heart of what we do. The principle of what's known as universal service, to make sure that all Americans have access to communication services at reasonable prices, and means that people in Chamberlain have the same access as people in D.C. People in Aberdeen have the same access as people in Arlington, Virginia, where I live. And that's something that I really take seriously. And so, for example, yesterday I met with a telephone company that's in northwest South Dakota, who said that his service area includes approximately one person per square mile. And if you think about laying telephone lines in the Washington area is no problem. You have a lot of customers who can help you get a return on that investment. But how do you solve that problem for rural South Dakota? I mean, that's something that we need to take really seriously. And so one of the things I've proposed to my colleagues, and I hope we take action on it soon, is to modernize the way we think about some of the funding for rural telephone companies and other companies as well, to make sure that they have enough of an incentive to take that risk, to lay that telephone line way out in rural South Dakota.
As I've listened to you, we're talking about telephones, we're talking about broadband, we're talking about radio, all of these different methods. Is that not a little intimidating to you?
I've got to say,
because it sounds like a massive, huge job.
It is. And I'm humbled every single day. I'm humbled at work by the nature of the challenge, humbled at home by two kids under 3 years old, I can tell you that.
Oh, my sympathies.
Yeah. But on the work side, I mean, one of the things, I'm a lawyer by training. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a technologist. So when I came on board, I really made it a priority to understand how this stuff works. I mean, it's the notion that I'd be trying to regulate something without even understanding it is just anathema to me. So I've sat down with radio folks, TV folks. I recently visited a cable head end to understand exactly how the video traffic travels from your remote control all the way back into the network. I visited telephone companies to see the actual copper lines that are degrading that they want to switch over to fiber. But there's no substitute for really digging in and trying to talk to the folks who know how this stuff works. And that's been one of my top priorities since getting on board.
Because now, how long have you been on the commission and how long is your term?
So I was appointed on May 7th of 2012, sworn in on May 14th, and my term runs out on June 30th of 2016. So,
Ajit Pai is our guest. He is a commissioner on the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. It sounds like you're on the go a lot and talking to a lot of different people. Must be a big part of the job.
It is, and it's something that I love. And I especially love getting out of Washington. No offense to my colleagues and all the good folks who come to my office, but I really like seeing the impact that our policies have or can have in different parts of America. And whether it's South Dakota or South Los Angeles, it's really been great getting out there and seeing everything that there is to see.
Well, I've got to tell, as I mentioned, your passion, especially for AM, obviously is exciting to me to, to see that. Because as I was telling you off the air, one of the things, the reason that I love being a broadcaster is you realize, the personal connection that you make with people and in the community and when local things especially are happening, and it's absolutely huge.
Absolutely. And one of the things I always think about is communications really means connection, and that's no more true than when it comes to broadcasting and radio in particular. It's I still have very fond memories of my AM radio station back in Parsons, KLKC 1540 AM, and I can still hear Steve Lardy broadcasting, and I felt this connection to him that you rarely feel with other communications mediums. And that's why I hope that AM radio and radio in general just continues to be a part of the American landscape.
Well, listen, it is such a pleasure to have a chance to meet you. Where are you off to from here?
So heading back home, actually. This is the last stop, and we've had a great couple of days in Sioux Falls, and hope to make it back, but there's a lot of stuff going on in Washington, too.
Sure. Well, welcome to South Dakota, and for coming to our studios. It's just a real pleasure to have a chance to visit with you. I appreciate it.
The pleasure is mine. There's no better place to be than the best little city in America.
Ajit Pai has been our guest. Again, he's a commissioner with the FCC